Our scripture today will be found in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 39, not 29. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible if you would like. And we're going to say a quick prayer before we start. Dear Lord, we thank you for this, your word, which you're about to give to us. Your word, which we can read together, for you have given to us the Bible, your word. Your love and your expectations, your hopes and your joys, and your invitation for us to be by your side through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that we take up this invitation every day, and that as we read your word, that seeds are planted that may blossom into your love whenever you desire. Lord, we also pray for your patience and for your mercy to be upon the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory and only your glory. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Matthew 10, verse 24 to 39. Hear now God's word. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What I whisper in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but the sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This picture I have up here is supposed to be an allusion to one of Aristotle's teachings. He talked about being a man in the cave and seeing the world pass by as shadows on the wall. That's all I know about that. If you're interested in that, it's a very neat story, very neat teaching. You can look that up. But this thing about the shadows on the wall, it intrigues me. That what if you were a man in the cave, a person in the cave, and you judged life by the shadows? Sometimes the shadows are accurate. You know, we see a baby stroller, a woman taking pictures, a hand holding the child of somebody. And we can make stories of that, and some of them would be somewhat accurate, and others that maybe not so much. But this would give us some idea of the life outside the cave. But of course, it wouldn't give us the whole idea. There would be so much more that's available out there, so much more that we could experience that we're not getting near as much if we just watch the world go by the shadows on the cave. In our life, we have shadows on the cave. The easiest one is probably television. How many of you know better than to judge the world by what you see on TV? You say that you do, but how many times have we done that? How many times have we been influenced by what we see on TV that we judge a particular location based upon NYPD Blue, for example? How many times have you judged or got a picture of what New York is like by watching NYPD Blue? How many times have you judged what the city of Chicago is like based upon, I don't know, how many different shows are on Chicago? I tell you, they're not all very happy. They're all usually dramas of some sort or another. Where our judgment of life is influenced, whether we like it or not, based upon our shadows on the wall, our televisions, our social media. Holy, there's even a job that you can get on social media. It is self-appointed, but very, very powerful, and it's called influencer. They are influencing you that their shadow on the wall is true and right and worth paying attention to outside of your own reality. And then we also have the shadows on the wall, magazines and our books, the classic ones even, and the ones that we read now. We're sort of coming out of this phase, and I'm sort of thankful for that, but it's still around. Which is, for the longest time, women's health and beauty have been judged based upon magazine covers. The way that the makeup needs to be, the way that the health needs to be, the way that, and men too, men are, the magazine covers show us what men should look like. Just look up that magazine that says Men's Health. I cannot look like any of those men on those front of that cover. I mean, maybe I could if I worked out and never eat. But what we know to be true is that many of those men and women on those covers are photoshopped or airbrushed. They themselves can't even live up to their own ideal. They're just shadows on the wall. The things that the media and the television and the magazines and all that stuff, the things that they give us, is a 2D world, a 2D view of what our world should be, should look like. It's accurate in some ways, but in other ways, it's misleading or outright lies. When I read the scripture that we read, all of it, Jesus, the writer of this book, Matthew, has put together a lot of Jesus' teachings. And when we look at those teachings, we see that they're vast and they cover a large part of life, different parts on how to follow God, on the fact that Christ wants us above all else, and that in following God in our lives, it perfects our love for others, and that it does come down to a point where we must choose God through Jesus Christ or other. But what we see through these scriptures is that it doesn't give us a two-dimensional view in life. It doesn't even give us a three-dimensional view in life. But what it gives us is a larger view of life. We're experiencing the three-dimensional right now. The truth of this part of our life. We are loved. We are cared for. We're surrounded by different people. We know that all of us have highs and lows, ups and downs, things we're proud of, things we're ashamed of. We got this view of life. We just went through the joys and concerns that was with traveling mercies, people leaving, people coming, people being baptized, people being born. We got cancer. We got birth. We got the highs and lows of life all right there, and the joys and concerns. And we have a true view of life that social media, TV, and all that can't accurately provide, because we are actively living it right now. But the joy, or maybe the truth of life, is that even what we are experiencing in this moment is not the whole of life. What Jesus teaches us in these scriptures is that life is even so much bigger than what we understand. The world is so much bigger than what we understand. There's angels, there's demons, there's spiritual realms, and use that wonderful church word, principalities. that what we see, what we experience, what we have come across our desk, whatever it might be, is not the whole of the story. We may have someone come up to us who is pregnant. We see this pregnant person in front of us, and we say to that person, we say, "Congratulations." And they burst out crying. Because maybe we don't know the whole story. Maybe it is congratulations because that's what we see, but what they're experiencing is so much more than what we realize. We might meet a person in our life who's got diagnosed with cancer, and we say to them, "Oh, I'm so sorry for what you're going through," and they might be able to say, "It's all right, it'll be all right." Knowing that no matter how the cancer ends, no matter how their journey ends, because they live in Jesus Christ, they know they will be all right. Our world and what we perceive is so much smaller than what is actually happening. That a cancer diagnosis does not tell the whole story. A pregnancy does not tell the whole story. What we see on television and social media, goodness gracious, does not tell even close to the whole story. My prayer has always been for my life and for all of our lives is that when we look at the world, that we're able to see God active in it, because that is more of the story that sometimes we turn a blind eye to. What if the world was just shadows on the wall? What if the world was dictated only by our own interpretations of what is going on? What a shallow and dismal world it would be. But the world is big. God makes it so much bigger. And the world that we see is dictated by the love of Jesus Christ and by the love of God. And what we may know and what we may interpret through Jesus Christ, we can understand that it is not the whole story. But if there's something that we want to hold on to just to be able to push through all the things we don't know, it's that Christ wants us above all else. Jesus wants us. And when we surrender, we can make it through. And I believe with my full heart, we will see things we never thought we would. Possibilities will open up like we never thought they could, because Christ walks with us. I close with this benediction today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and always. Amen and amen. Go in peace.